News.
Blog Talk Radio.
How you guys doing out there tonight? I hope you guys are having a better night than I'm having over here. But I'm not crying. I'm thanking God because I figure that the way things have been going these last couple of days, evidently I'm doing something right. I look like the devil is throwing out every hook and line he possibly can, even for me trying to get on my show. And I mean, just countless events happening back to back today. I was out and had a guy come over to post to fix my fan in my car, and my car's not working out. It was really great. But anyway, people, I come to talk to you guys tonight, and I figured evidently the revelation knowledge that I'm bringing you must be worth something. And I'm not trying to pat myself on the back, but God is a good God, and He has blessed me to be able to bless you with a scriptural understanding, not a private interpretation or an interpretation. You know, through His Spirit that is in me, that dwells in me, I can explain things a little bit more plainly than somebody who's never really been born again. Tonight's topic is Jesus. Who was He really? You know, that's a great controversy. It's been going on for hundreds of years, too. And it goes all the way back to the Nicene Creed, and then you got Tertullian in 150 A.D. also. And you got Hermes and all the other apostates that came along after the fact. Matthew 16, he says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, Philip, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that the Son of Man am? You know, this has been a controversy for years. You know, even in his time, they were debating on who Jesus really was. Let's start in Matthew 16. But before I start also, if any of you guys desire to call in tonight, the call-in number is going to be 773-897-6105. Once again, it is 773-897-6105. And you're welcome to call in, and I will answer your call as you call in. Okay. So let's look at this. It says, this is Matthew 16, 13. It says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciple, verse 13 of chapter 16, he asked his disciple, saying, who do men say I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. In our day and time, they say he's God. Is this a correct fact? Is the Trinity real, or is this something that we just so happen to believe, or not so much me, but people believe with no scripture proof? And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? You know, who you believe I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. So what he was telling him, he didn't have an interpretation, but he had a revelation that came from God to who he was. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and up on this rock I will build my church, up on the principle that he is the Son of God. It will be established, the church of God, the kingdom of God will be established through us believing that Jesus is the Son of God, not that he's God, but the Son of God. It says, and the gates of hell should not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys. Notice what he told Peter. The keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So we find out Peter did not just come up with an interpretation, but he had a scriptural revelation, which was from God, to who Jesus really was. Jesus was asking because it was such a great controversy even in his time, about who he was. You know, some said Elijah the prophet, Jeremiah, so one of those guys. But they did not understand that this was the Son of God. Isaiah 8:16, like he said, he talked about his disciples is done amongst them, is bind up the testimony and seal the law among my disciples. And I will wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord have given me are for signs and for wonders in Jerusalem. I mean, in Israel. I don't know where I got Jerusalem from. Okay, Israel, which is in Jerusalem. For the Lord of hosts was dwelling in the mount, when they shall say unto thee, speak unto them that have a familiar spirit, and unto them and unto wizards that peep and mutter, should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead, to the law and to the testimony? If thou speak not according to this word, it is because there is no truth in them. So we're looking at the time when Christ comes. They're teaching Christ, and they're looking at it. Christ himself had the question of, who do they say I am? Because, you know, there was great talk even in his day going around, some saying he wasn't and some saying he was the Messiah. This is what we're dealing with even now. Some say that now they got what they call the ecumenical movement or the Trinity. And the Trinity is saying that Jesus is the Son of God and God is part of Jesus. Trinity, three people in one body, or three different forms in this day and time, okay? Because the original Trinity started back in the Tower of Babel, which there was two men and one woman, the woman representing the Holy Ghost, which was symbolic of Semiramis. But during the time of this, Shem came down and killed Nimrod for the idolatry practices that they had started after the flood had happened. Okay, so we find out Jesus, and he was the first Antichrist. He's the first false Christ. Jesus himself comes along on the scene later on, and he's back. He's in all the New Testament, but he comes along after. You know, people, like, I'm laughing because I'm kind of tired, but it's been a long day, and to me, it's my job. I would like to sometimes put things down, but it's my job to let you know who Jesus really was. Because you find out in Matthew 13 what he said, you know, that who he was always a controversial issue. And, you know, like I said, the first Antichrist, he comes along with Nimrod. They knew about the virgin birth from the very beginning of the garden. People say, oh, Jesus is in the Bible. But yes, he is in the Bible. It's prophecy of him. But Jesus did not exist until the New Testament, that the new covenant that God forged through him. And here is 3:15. And look what he says, because, you know, Adam and Eve had eaten of the fruit, and everybody else makes that oversimplify that. Them eating of the fruit was, first of all, it was covenant. I'm going to go back to the scripture I'm reading, but first it was covenant. She was looking at something that didn't belong to her. And then secondly, there was, in a, not only not secondly, not in order, but Satan himself stood up to lie. He lied and called, he's the first blaspheming. He said God lied. He said, you should not surely die. He called God a liar after God had told Adam, if you eat of that fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, in that day you shall surely die. Okay? He didn't say it's possible or maybe I'll forgive you, but he said you should surely die. And the Bible goes on and tells him, in dust I was and dust I shall return, when he finished giving out their point, the sentence. But Adam, because it's always been a question too, what happened to Adam after that? Adam went back into oblivion. He no longer exists. He's not going to be found in the hell. They don't tell us what happened to Eve. So you had the disobeying of parents at the tree. You had the worshiping of other gods. You had covenant. you had murder because Satan had set up the human family to bring murder and death into our families and to the rank and file of our families. The blasphemy of the Holy Ghost, or God, not the Holy Ghost, but God himself, calling him a lie. And so you have all these things that went down at the tree. And then God, at that point, had to promise them a savior. He already knew. He says in 1:26, let us make man. He was thinking in his own mind. Like he says, he calls the beginning from the end. I mean, he called the end from the beginning. Okay? And so you see that he's calling the end from the beginning. He says in what is verse 3:15, when he's talking to Satan, he's already saying he's going to send a savior that is going to deliver the human family. This savior, as we know, is Jesus. And it says in Genesis 3:15, and I will put enmity between thee, entity, between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. Jesus came out of the tribe of Israel, out of the tribe of Judah. Okay? Is it between thy seed and her seed? It shall bruise thy head, and I shall bruise his heel. So he said, a seed of the woman. So he's already telling. So a lot of people act like the virgin birth is something that they had just come along, and all these fake antichrists, you know, pretending to be Christ, that came along. But Jesus came along. That was the true Christ. But they act like, oh, this is something that's been going on for a long time. Yes. They knew about it from the very beginning. They knew about it in the Garden of Eden, that God had made a plan after Satan has done what he done, trying to overthrow God's kingdom. So everything went into his hand and his possession at that time, but God had a time that he would send his son to deliver this world, to deliver his people. Okay, so Satan really didn't do nothing. He just brought it where we're going to be brought into our perfectness. He didn't kill us. I imagine we could have went around that and not seen death and so many tragic events that we have happening today. We live in a lawless world. We're here in America, Babylon the Great. As it said, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become the habitations of devil and every foul spirit, a cage and hateful bird. Then another scriptures down, a couple of scriptures down said, come out of her, my people, and be not partakers of her sin or her plagues. You know, the plague is God's divine judgment upon mankind. And the plague, like you see, and I know people say, oh, yeah, it's talking about homosexuality, but homosexuality is a plague. It is God's divine judgment. You know, when you cannot distinguish whether you be a man or whether you be a woman. God, from the very beginning, he has never made us to be with the same sex. He made Adam and Eve, not Steve and Adam. And see, as a true believer, I have that right to voice that opinion. I do not follow political correctness because that is just a group of followers. That means you have no mind of your own. And whatever somebody tells you, that's what you go along with. You don't have an opinion. You're not an individual. You are a clone. So he went on, and he told them that he was going to do that. So he finds out that he's telling them that there's going to be a virgin birth, and that child that is born of that virgin shall conquer you and your kingdom on earth. At that time, Satan had not been cast out yet. So he was letting him know, though, from the very beginning that cast him out, and he came down to this earth, that he was going to be defeated by his son that was going to be made of a woman. Galatians 4:4, when the fullness of time had come. And this is Isaiah 7:14, said, therefore, the Lord himself shall give a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. Does that sound like God to you? That he would have to learn to choose the good and choose the good versus evil? Okay, clearly that has to be a creative being of God. It said, for before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land of their shall abhor and shall be forsaken of both her kings. So you see, he was coming, a deliverer that was promised all the way back in the Garden of Eden. And then he told Satan to top it off that he was going to create him, okay, through a woman. And you get into Luke, you find out, you look at that overshadowing power of God when it overshadowed Mary. And he said, let there be light. It's like he said, let there be life or whatever you're doing with. But when he overshadowed, he brought about this. He brought about this action. And excuse me, people, because I'm here and there sometimes, and it's just been an actual long day. And I really come to the show to make sure y'all get the word of God, because we're living in an era where the word of God is scarce. It talks about Samuel being called before the air, before air meaning before it went out in the temple. And there was no open vision, as we're living in the day and time right now where there seems not to be no real people who's speaking scriptural truth. They're giving philosophies and opinions that will not stand before God on the day of judgment. So my endeavor in this show is to give you scriptural revelation, not a scared to speak against what they call politically correct. I'm not going to do that, because that was his problem with the age we live in right now with the Laodicean church. The Laodicean church stood for nothing. And that's where we're at now. They were neither cold nor hot. They were lukewarm. They stood for nothing. And I think as a true believer, we must stand for what God says. We do not have to go hide because our lifestyle is under attack. They make us like we're the weirdos because we're heterosexuals and not homosexuals. Okay, they're attacking our lifestyles and nobody is saying nothing. The filthy president, and all due respect, that they would try to say, I'm not going to give that man no respect. And I don't care if he kicked in the door and decided he wanted to throw me in jail for saying what I said. But that filth that is coming out of Washington, that filth that where he sits up there and congratulate a man for changing his sex as if God has made a mistake. You know, we're too busy taking down. We're too busy trying to be politically correct. We're followers. When the Bible told us don't be transformed to this world, but be transformed. Don't conform, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, knowing to stand on the word of God, people. You know, what did Jesus come for? Why did he die? If we're not going to stand for nothing, if we're going to take down, you know, we're going to be scared to say anything. What did he come for? I know he didn't come for a bunch of cowards. You know, this is the problem. And this is probably why I'm catching some hell, because I'm going to stand up if nobody else do. You know, that's me. I'm going to stand up because you know what? It's only the righteous thing to do. Jesus gave his life for us, and we all are hiding and afraid to tell the truth, just scared. And our lifestyle is under attack. And I know I'm still talking about Jesus, who he was. I have not gotten off that, and I kind of was probably just stuck because I was kind of a little dozing there because I've had a long day. But at the same time, I felt obligated to get on this radio and tell the truth. Somebody needs to hear that. Somebody needs to be encouraged. We can't all go run and hide. Where is Christ? Why he gave his life if we're going to all run and hide? Why do we have to be lukewarm and standing for nothing type of people? Why can't we stand for God and say, hey, because you guys said that's right, it's contrary to the word of God, it ain't right. We don't have to take that. Tyler and all these people, when they put these same-sex marriages, they're talking about anything, the family, and just all they need is love, we should boycott them. We shouldn't buy their products no more. There will never be another Tylenol product in my house because of those commercials. As long as I can live and have my willpower, it will never, ever stop. It will not touch my door again. None of the after, nothing they got. If I see Tylenol on it, I don't want it. The heck with these people. You know, and that's the problem. We're too scared. We're too scared. We're too busy trying to please everybody. We didn't got comfortable with the nice car and house. We have need of nothing, as it says in Revelation, but we're wretched. We're spiritually broke. And Christ gave his life. Can you believe that in the way we act, as if we're so scared of these people that we shouldn't say nothing? Oh, my God. And I understand we have to work with them because Paul broke it down and told us. Now, if we have to leave the world, if we start talking about dealing in our job, but when we're in our place of worship, we don't have to tolerate this mess. Okay? That's religious freedom. If they take it, let us die for something. Let us not die being afraid and hiding in the closet. You know, they didn't came out of the closet, you going into the closet. What kind of mess is that? You know, for real. You're going to go in the closet. You're going to go hide in the closet now. They didn't came out the closet, you're going in the closet. But anybody, if you guys want to call in and make any comments, you're more than welcome. The number is 773-897-6105. And so we find out Christ came for us. You know, we find it out because when we look at Matthew's, it tells us why did he come. And it goes on to say, it talks about Mary because God had chosen her from the beginning of time. That's why I talk about blessed. We weren't to worship her, but she had to be highly favored because of the simple fact that God had chosen her from the very beginning of time to carry his son. He was going to create Jesus through him. Jesus did not come into existence until Mary. Now, the birth of, and this is Matthew 1 and 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused, engaged, in other words, to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away. He thought somebody else had been with his soon-to-be wife. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. It's of God's power and authority. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins, from our lawless actions, our corrupt state of mind. That's what Jesus came from. He came to save us from ourselves, in a sense. Yet that creature that is down here, that angelical creature who is working through these political figures, he came to save us from this corrupt state of mind and all the poison that has filtered in our mind through these TVs and sometimes through these computers, depending on what we allow our minds to take in. But he came, you know, and they didn't, some of them didn't have that back then, whatever the issues may have been. But he's come to save us from our lawlessness. And then so there's been a great controversy about who Jesus was. Some people say, because most people don't know, there's three teachers of Trinity, which I highlight in my book called The Devil Workshop, The History of the Church and the Rise of the Cult. And I break down this different thing. I talk about this, about every religion there is in that book, and explain how the Bible shows you what kind of religion it is. The Trinity, for instance, the first form of Trinity was three persons. It was they all was like individuals, and it started all back in the Tower of Babel with Nimrod and Semiramis, and then you had Cush. But these were the statues of three individuals, and the woman represented the Holy Ghost. Then the second form came along with Tertullian, which was 150 A.D., and I believe he lived to like 220, something like that, A.D., but he was the writer of all Catholic literature. And a lot of people don't understand Catholicism is not Christianity. Okay, there's two different things you're talking about. And a lot of people don't understand that religion was mixed in with Christianity, but it's Catholicism, it's not Christianity. And then there was the final meeting was the Nicene Creed, and that was Constantine with 325 bishops against Arius and Agabus of Cicero and some other city. Both of them had the same name. I can't even really pronounce the name correctly, but I know Arius' name. And Arius stood up, and he told the people that Jesus was the Son of God, and God was transcending. God was above his creature and would not come down to the level of his creature, which was true. Okay? And so then they modified, under Constantine, they modified the Trinity into three different forms. So there's three doctrines of Trinity. So when you're telling me you're a Trinitarian, I would have to ask you which Trinitarian you are. Because the second one was three spirits. They all can step in one body and stand side by side and step out and stand side by side. Then the final modification is three forms, one spirit. And I highlight that in my book called The Devil Workshop. The Devil Workshop is a book that you can get at Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, as well as Amazon. If you go to any of those stores and they don't have it on the shelf, you can go to the desk and it'll come right up. If not, you can pull it down also on your computer and Amazon and your Kindle, as well as printed form. Okay? So here it is. Jesus gave his life for, to me, what is now I'm looking at is like a worthless generation. We don't stand for nothing. We're not trying to tell anybody about truly being born again. Not a religious experience, but I'm talking about a biblical born again. When he talks about except a man be born of water and the spirit, he cannot, and this is verse 5, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And if you go back to verse 3, it says, except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He can't understand it. Okay, and then you get down to 5, he says, born of water and spirit. In Luke 24, about 45, 44 on through, he tells him how the scriptures were revealing him and talking about him coming prophetically. And then he goes on to tell him that he told them to go to Jerusalem and wait until they were endured with power from on high, but they were to go and preach repentance and remission of sins beginning in Jerusalem. See, when you start talking about Baptist, Methodist, and Presbyterian, and all these other religions, you're talking about the stuff that came out of Rome. But a true believer can trace his belief right back up into the day of Pentecost, where there was preaching the repentance or remission of sins in his name, and because he told them in Acts 2:38 that to repent, Peter did. He was the one who was given the keys. He was the one who gave them the power to be able to open. As it says in Matthew 16, a person who has the keys have the authority to open the door. He says, I give you the keys, Peter. So Peter opened the door. He told you what he told us to do. Jesus told them to preach repentance and remission of sin in his name, beginning at Jerusalem. And they did. And John, that goes right back to 3 and 5 when he was talking about a man be born of water and spirit. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So if you have not done this, you're really no part of it, because Romans 8 tells you, except a man be born, except a man have the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And I'm paraphrasing that, because they coming on and telling me my time is running down now. But the bottom line, in Acts 2:38, you have the water and spirit. It says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for what? The remission of sin. Okay? So you're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. That's where the blood is applied, because it tells you in Revelations 1 and 5, except a man is born of water and spirit, he washed us from our sins in his own blood. That's Revelations 1 and 5. So you find out, if that be the case, when you baptize in Jesus' name, that's the only place in the Bible you find the remission of sins. And he says you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That is the water and spirit. To go through these days, because our lifestyle is now under attack. And Jesus was the Son of God, and I'll deal with that in the next couple of days. I'll make sure I mention it and highlight different scriptures that show you who he was, and he's not God, but the Son of God. And I thank you guys for coming out once again, because my time is now up. And I ask you guys to come back tomorrow at 12:30. And I thank you guys for taking out a little bit of your time tonight to hear what I had to say. And once again, this is Revolutionary Gospel News. You guys have a great night. And I hope God bless y'all. and that you guys have gotten something from this night. In Jesus' name, I thank y'all for coming. Amen. Bye. Good night, y'all.